Stephen Rawlings' brother-in-law, and he's coming to share God's word with us. So let's just pray for you. So yeah, God, I thank you for Jack. I thank you for the word that you've placed in him that he's going to bring to us this morning, and I pray that our hearts are open to receive what it is that you've got to say. Amen.
Thank you. Lovely, great to be with you. We're over from Toxteth. I'm the minister there at Toxteth Tabernacle Baptist and come with their love. It's great to be with you this morning. We're going to be looking at Ezekiel 37, verses 1 to 14. So if you've got your Bibles, Ezekiel 37, verses 1 to 14, I'll read it for you. If you've got these that are on your chairs there, it's page 839. Ezekiel 37, verses 1 to 14, says this: I felt the powerful presence of the Lord, and his spirit took me and set me down in a valley where the ground was covered with bones, and led me all round the valley. And I could see that there were very many bones and that they were very dry. And he said to me, mortal man, can these bones come back to life? I replied, sovereign Lord, only you can answer that. He said, prophesy to the bones. Tell these dry bones to listen to the word of the Lord. Tell them that I, the sovereign Lord, am saying to them, I am going to put breath into you and bring you back to life. I will give you sinews and muscles and cover you with skin. I will put breath into you and bring you back to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied, I had been told. While I was speaking, I heard a rattling noise, and the bones began to join together. While I watched, the bones were covered with sinews and muscles, and then with skin. But there was no breath in the bodies. Then God said to me, mortal man, prophesy to the wind. Tell the wind that the sovereign Lord commands it to come from every direction, to breathe into these dead bodies and bring them back to life. So I prophesied as I had been told. Breath entered the bodies, and they came to life and stood up. There were enough of them to form an army. God said to me, mortal man, the people of Israel are like these bones. They say that they are dried up, without any hope and with no future. So prophesy to my people Israel and tell them that I, the sovereign Lord, am going to open up their graves. I'm going to take them out and bring them back to the land of Israel. When I open up the graves where my people are buried and bring them out, they will know that I am the Lord. I will put my breath in them, bring them back to life, and let them live in their own land. Then they will know that I am the Lord. I have promised that I would do this, and I will. I, the Lord, have spoken. Migration. It's all over our news today. We see it everywhere. Migrants here. The UN reckons that worldwide there are 272 million migrants, and that 70 million of them are forcibly displaced. That is through war, persecution, disaster. 70 million people have had to flee their homes. I wonder if you can imagine what that would be like, how frightening it would be to have to flee your home or to be forcibly removed from it and taken somewhere else, how disorientating it would be to suddenly find yourself in a completely different country, in a different culture, with people who speak in a language that you don't understand. What would that be like? Well, that's exactly what happened to Ezekiel, this Old Testament prophet. Age 25, so still a young man. And Nebuchadnezzar. Can we flick on? I think we've got a picture of Nebuchadnezzar. We only have his, no one had photos back then. So we only have his image carved in stone. Nebuchadnezzar, at 603 BC, he invaded Judah. And he carried off into exile all the royalty of the city. So if you know your Bibles, you know of Daniel in the lion's den. Daniel was one of the royalty of Judah, that in this first invasion of Nebuchadnezzar, he carried off the royalty into exile, took them to a foreign land. Can we pop onto the next slide? Yeah, so it's quite away from Jerusalem, across Babylon, which is modern-day Iraq. And they were placed there. Nebuchadnezzar put on the throne of Judah Jehoiakim. He was a puppet king. They had to pay taxes to Nebuchadnezzar. He did exactly what Nebuchadnezzar said, and he ruled over Judah, whoever was left. After 3 years, Jehoiakim rebelled, refused to do what Nebuchadnezzar said. So in 597, if we can have the next slide, Nebuchadnezzar came again. He conquered Judah again, and he exiled more. And that group included Ezekiel. So Ezekiel was in this kind of second wave of exiles taken to Babylon. And Nebuchadnezzar put a guy called Zedekiah on the throne of Judah. And he was a puppet king again. Judah was the land that God had given to Israel. It was that promised land. Remember when they came out of Egypt? And God had said, I will give you a land flowing with milk and honey. Judah was that land that God had given to them. Jerusalem, their capital, held the temple. And the temple was the house of God. It was for them the presence of God. So that even when they were far away from a distance, if they were to cry in prayer towards the temple, they knew that God would hear them and answer. So while Jerusalem stood stand, while the temple was still standing, these people who live now hundreds of miles from home still had hope. The covenant still stood. If they prayed towards the temple, they knew that God would still hear them, even though they were in exile. And so there in exile, hundreds of miles from home, Ezekiel had a vision. Ezekiel 3, verses 22 to 23. This is what it said. The hand of the Lord was on me there, and he said to me, get up and go out to the valley, and there I will speak to you. So I got up and I went out to the valley. And the glory of the Lord was standing there, like the glory I'd have seen by the Kabar River. And I fell face down. In exile, Ezekiel's taken out to this valley. And there he sees the glory of the Lord. Now this would have been incredibly reassuring, both to him and the exiles. God's glory is there. God's presence is with them, even in this foreign place. And in chapter 4, it goes on, Ezekiel then has to take this message to the people. Jerusalem will be under siege. And actually, 10 years later, after that vision, Zedekiah, that puppet king, rebelled against Nebuchadnezzar. Can we flick on a slide or two? Another one? Oh, yeah, these are the verses from Ezekiel. Another. Oh, that'll do. Yeah, back one. That's great. Nebuchadnezzar came again in 589, removed Zedekiah, he placed Jerusalem under siege. Eventually, the wall was broken down, and what happened then was horrific. There was a slaughter in that city. Nebuchadnezzar went through with his army, killing, maiming. Jerusalem was burned, the temple completely destroyed. And all who remained were carried off into exile. Jeremiah had prophesied about it, which was the next slide. This is in Jeremiah 7. He says this, so beware, the days are coming, declares the Lord. Oh, one more. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when the people will no longer call it Topheth or the Valley of Ben-Hinnom. This was the valley next to Jerusalem. But they will call it the Valley of Slaughter. For there they will bury the dead in Topheth until there's no more room. Then the carcasses of this people will become food for the birds and wild animals. There will be no one to frighten them away. I will bring an end to the sound of joy and gladness and the voices of the bride and bridegroom in the towns of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem. For the land will become desolate. Today is Remembrance Sunday, where our pop is. We remember those who'd fallen on a battlefield. We've got, if we flick on, yeah. We have those poppy fields where men and women died fighting for freedom. And we remember them today. And for me, that thought brings a lot of sadness. But I wonder what it's like for those who were there, for those veterans who revisit these places where they saw colleagues and friends lying dead, lying dead in the place where the poppies are. And I wonder how it was for those final exiles. Can we go on a slide? This is the Valley of Hinnom, right beside Jerusalem. I wonder how it was for those final exiles. Jerusalem had gone, the temple had gone. I wonder what they remembered of that valley. As they left, that valley would have been filled with their brothers, their fathers, their husbands, bodies of those who Nebuchadnezzar had slain. And they didn't have time to bury them. And as they were led into exile, they would see the birds circling and picking at the carcasses. This is what they would remember as they were taken into exile. And for those then in exile, hundreds of miles from home, Jerusalem has been destroyed, the temple destroyed. How on earth can they pray to God? Where's God now? They're cut off from God's promises. They're cut off from God's presence. The covenant that they had with God is in tatters. We see here in Ezekiel 37 what their cry was. Verse 11, our bones are dried up. Our hope is gone. We are cut off completely. Cut off completely. And there in exile, Ezekiel has another vision. And he's taken back to that valley. That valley where 10 years previously he had seen the glory of God. He'd seen God's presence. And he's taken back to the valley, that place of reassurance of God's presence. And this is the hand of the Lord was on me. He brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. And it was full of bones. And he led me back and forth among them. And I saw great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He no longer sees God's glory. Now he sees only death, bones. And he said to me, son of man, these bones are the people of Israel. This isn't reassuring anymore, in case you hadn't noticed. This isn't reassuring for them. This was the place of God's glory. The place where he'd met with the living God. And now it's just full of death and destruction and hopelessness. And maybe some of you feel like that this morning. Maybe some of you feel like that this morning. Maybe for yourself. Maybe you became a believer and your life was going to change. Or maybe even this year, maybe you made a New Year's resolution. This is going to be different in my life. God is going to do this and it's going to change. I'm no longer going to be captivated by this sin of anger. I'm no longer going to be the gossip that I was. I'm going to change. I'm going to be different. I'm going to be healed. This sickness is going to be gone. That is what God's promise to me is. I'm going to overcome the struggles that I'm going through. God is going to provide for me. I'm going to live this life of freedom in Christ. But now, today, you feel God's promises have failed you. You feel that God's promises have failed and God feels absent. And your prayers unheard and you sing songs of the God of angel armies. But actually, those things that you're hoping for from God, you don't know where they are. They're just dry bones. Or maybe for your family, you had hopes for your children, but they've grown up, no longer following Jesus or loving Jesus. They've gone their own way. For your spouse or your parents, perhaps they reject your faith. Perhaps they reject you. And those hopes that you had for your family, those things that you were hoping God would do, and his promises seem to have failed. His promises seem to have failed, and he seems absent, and you feel dry and empty and hopeless. Perhaps for this church or for Buttershaw. You know, you make that declaration. Every week do you make that declaration? That's fantastic. But maybe you've been here a while and you've had hopes. You would see captives released. And you'd see freedom for people. And you were full. There was a time when you were full of hope and expectation that God is going to work on these streets, in this community. And that's what you were hoping for. many finding Jesus, this church packed of people who found new life and new hope, who've been changed. And now you ask, well, where is God's promise? Where is his presence? Has it failed? Have I missed it somewhere? I feel dry and empty and hopeless. Ezekiel surveyed the Valley of Bones. In fact, he was led around it. And then God spoke and he asked him a question. You notice God often asks questions rather than giving answers. He asked a question. He said, mortal, can these bones live? And perhaps this morning you view your dry bones, those things you were hoping for of God, and you hear God's question, mortal, can these bones live? Ezekiel's response is really telling. He says, O Lord, you know. O Lord, you know. It's not very committal, is it? You know. I see bones. I want to believe that your glory is here, still in this valley. I want to hold to your promises, but I see only bones. Oh Lord, only you know. I'm reminded of the father bringing his... Father bringing his convulsing son to Jesus for healing. It's in Mark 9. So they brought him. When the spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into a convulsion. He fell to the ground and rolled around, foaming at the mouth. Jesus asked the boy's father, how long has he been like this? From childhood, he answered. It has often thrown him into the fire or water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. If you can, said Jesus, everything is possible for the one who believes. Immediately the boy's father exclaimed, I do believe. Help me to overcome my unbelief. When Jesus saw that the crowd was running to the scene, he rebuked the impure spirit. You deaf and mute spirit, he said, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again. The spirit shrieked, convulsed him violently and came out. The boy looked so much like a corpse that many said, he's dead. But Jesus took him by the hand, lifted him to his feet, and he stood up. The father crying, I want to believe. Help me with my unbelief. Did you notice, just as with Ezekiel, the boy's healing here was in two stages. Yeah, Jesus commanded, the demon left. But the boy looked like a corpse until Jesus touched him. And then he came to life. Ezekiel is first told to speak God's words to the bones. Yeah, he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you. You will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound. The bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, the tendons and flesh appeared on them. Skin covered them. But there was no breath in them. Here we have a miraculous recreation by God. Dry bones. Suddenly on these bones that have come together, there's sinews and muscles and skin. Do you remind you of anywhere else in the Bible? Perhaps in creation? Adam is formed by God. And although Adam and Eve are formed as whole human beings, it's not until God breathes life into them that they come to life. Like the boy, he looked dead until Jesus touched him. So Ezekiel is told, secondly, to speak God's word to the spirit, to the breath, to the wind. He said, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come, breath, from the four winds and breathe into these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them, and they came to life and stood on their feet, a vast army. Breath enters the corpses, and those that looked alive, that had sinews and muscles and skin, are then really alive. They're breathing, they're restored. For the Israelites, For the Israelites in exile, where Jerusalem is destroyed, where their hope is gone, this vision was to bring them hope. This vision was to bring them hope. Therefore prophesy and say to them, this is what the Sovereign Lord says, my people. I am going to open up your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord. When I open your graves and bring you up from them, I will put my spirit in you, and you will live, and I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken and will act. God had not left them. God had not deserted them. Their covenant of love still stood. They would be restored to Israel. God's presence hadn't gone. He would restore them, not merely just looking alive, but with his breath in them, really alive. What are your dry bones this morning? What are those places where you think all hope is gone, where God's presence no longer seems to be? A couple of things here. Firstly, can we knock it on? One more. Firstly, Ezekiel heard God's word and then he declared God's word as he was commanded. It was God who was who carried out the creative process. Yeah, it was God who recreated these human beings. It was God's redeeming process of these bones. But he involved Ezekiel in it. Yeah, and God gives each of us a part to play in his purposes. He doesn't want you just to be an observer in what he wants to do. He doesn't want you to just be a bystander. What are his plans in your life? What are his plans for your family? What is his plans for this church and this area? For Buttershaw, for this world? You know, he wants you to be involved. He doesn't want you to be a bystander in that. He has purposes and plans, and he wants to involve you in them. And I wonder if this morning you are listening as Ezekiel was. Ezekiel heard what God said to him. And then he was available to do just what God asked of him. I wonder if you're listening. I wonder if you're available. And I wonder if you're prepared to pay the price as Ezekiel was. God has plans and purposes and he wants you to be part of them. But secondly, there's this. We have no life without God's Spirit. It was only by God's Spirit that those corpses, although they had sinews and muscles and skin, only by God's Spirit that they came to life. We have no life without God's Spirit. And I want to say this, don't settle for things that look alive, that appear alive, but aren't actually alive. Don't settle for the demon gone, but the boy still lying on the floor dead. Don't settle for the bones with flesh, which aren't made alive by the Spirit of God, that have no breath. If every person from Buttershaw crammed into this building every Sunday, well, that would be wonderful, wouldn't it? But would you be satisfied with that? If this building was busy every day of every week, would you be satisfied with a social club? If your family enjoyed coming with you to church every Sunday, would you be satisfied with a dead religion? If all your sin in your life was conquered, if all your sickness was healed, if all your troubles were sorted, would you be content? You need to seek a community that's not crammed in here every Sunday. If they're crammed in here every Sunday, that's great. But a community that is radically transformed, not just in here on a Sunday, but on the streets out there, in the homes that make up those streets, radically transformed by new life in the Spirit of God. where their relationships, the way they relate to one another, to their friends and family, in their schools, in the workplaces where they are, radically changed by the transformation that can only come by the breath of God's Spirit. Seek a building that's not just busy, but being a place where people encounter a living God that leaves them changed forever. Seek whole families who not only enjoy coming to church on a Sunday, but in their lives together, they seek to love Jesus with all their heart and soul and mind. A congregation that isn't just content, but is actually discontent, who yearn and long to love Jesus more, who thirst for his return, who urge and encourage one another onto love and good works. A discontent congregation, don't be satisfied with a body with no breath. I want to say this finally. God doesn't give up on his people or his promises. I know that can be really hard to hear if you have dry bones this morning. If you've given up hope. If you think, where is God? Here. But God doesn't give up on his people and his promises. There's nothing that is impossible for him. He does more than all we ask or imagine. You know, he did bring Israel back to Jerusalem. More than that, he later sent Jesus, the Messiah, who through his death and resurrection opened the floodgates of love and mercy. So it was no longer Israel that were rescued, but he welcomed in Gentiles. More than that, he sent his Spirit, who came and indwelt every believer, empowering them to declare that good news to Jerusalem, to Samaria, to the ends of the earth. And you know what? We here this morning are inheritors of that promise. That promise that God would restore, he did more. In Jesus and through his Spirit, we here this morning are inheritors of that promise. God is doing more. I can't stress enough God's power to create, to redeem, to restore. There's nothing that can stop him. This is the God who, with a word, spoke the world into creation. This is the God who raises the dead. He cannot and he will not fail you. He cannot and he will not fail you. And it is only possible by his power. What are your dry bones this morning? What are your dry bones this morning? Where have you given up hope? Where are you thinking, God, maybe God can't do anything about this? What are your dry bones this morning? Hear God's question to you this morning. Mortal, can these bones live? Can these bones live? I want you to take a moment of quiet to think of your response. If your response is like, maybe your response will be like Ezekiel's. Lord God, I only see dry bones. But you know. I want to believe. Help me believe. Well, that's enough. Jesus worked with that. God can work with that. Take a moment in the silence. Mortal, can these bones live? How will you respond to God this morning?
care. He's a God who hears. He's a God who responds. Whoever seeks finds.